Matthew chapter 6. We've got this conference coming up. You know, I've had the opportunity to preach in a number of conferences. We've had a number of conferences here where people have preached. And you don't really tell them anything new. And I'm not sure you're going to hear anything new, but you're going to hear it in a way where you'll know that God is speaking to you specifically about something. If you come prepared to receive something from Him. And one of the best ways to do that is found in Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, he didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. So it's a foregone conclusion with God that His people from time to time would fast. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And its spiritual benefits to your life. Brother Andrew, would you pray for us? Amen. 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 So fasting is an important, it's very important part of our relationship with the Lord. It's just oftentimes something that is neglected until it becomes urgent. And truly, when you do hit something that's urgent, if it didn't come to mind, hopefully after hearing this tonight, it will come to mind. And then thinking about this conference that's getting ready to start, and many of you will be praying, have been praying, and many of you will be praying from that list during certain time slots during the next 24 hours. And I would say to you that there are some great benefits to fasting. I'll just notice a few cases in the Old Testament. Turn to Esther chapter 4. Some of these are going to be very familiar to you, so we won't take as much time if we were preaching a particular text. Turn to Esther chapter 4 and notice in verses 15 through 17, when Haman made a decree to obliterate the Jews that were in Ahasuerus' kingdom. That was 127 provinces. Basically, he's going to wipe out the nation. Esther could intervene because she was a Jew on the Jews' behalf, and she was concerned that the king would not let her make the petition. So, verse 15, Esther chapter 4, Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. You know, it wasn't that many years before this that Vashti was called to come before the king, and she didn't come, and she was deposed. And so Esther, respecting his authority, said, this is liable to be a death wish. So why don't you fast for me? And for all those Jews that were in Shushan the palace, this was a very urgent request because they knew the decree was going to bring their death. And so Esther fasted, and her maidens fasted, and Mordecai fasted, and those Jews that were in Shushan fasted. And you know the rest of the story. After those 3 days and those 3 nights, Esther presented herself before the king, and he accepted her. And accepted her invitation for a banquet of wine, accepted her invitation the next day when Haman was disclosed to be the wicked man that he really was. And what happened between those 2 days is that the king couldn't sleep, and the king found out by reading the Chronicles that Mordecai, in fact, had spared his life by uncovering an assassination plot. God got involved in a great big way in the circumstances of the next 48 hours after that fast was completed. I turn to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah was a backslidden preacher. You and I cannot really... I'll give you about 15 minutes to find it. When you get there, look this way. Jonah was a backslidden preacher. You may think in your own mind, well, God can't use old so-and-so. You don't know who God's going to choose to use. As a matter of fact, when you get to the New Testament, the Pharisees said, we want a sign. He said, there's no sign that's going to be given you but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And Jonah was really not your first-class citizen. He ran from God. Once he did do what God wanted him to do, he's sitting there watching how the thing's going to turn out, gets mad at God and wants to die. It's just not a pretty picture at all. But that's not what we're talking about. Jonah chapter 3, after Jonah had preached in Nineveh that Nineveh would be overthrown in 40 days, look what happened in verse 5. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. That is a very unusual thing for a king to do. He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let there neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. But who can tell if God will turn and repent? And turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. And God did turn and repent. Now notice, he said, when you fast, in verse 8, turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their heart. And that fast was not just so we can continue to do what we've been doing, but that fast was to get in a right relationship with God and to get God's attention. And they did both. And Nineveh was spared. God was very merciful with them. In Matthew chapter 4, we read about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And you already know that he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted of the devil while he was there. And so the devil tempted him with food. This whole temptation was after the baptism of Jesus Christ. The real strengthening and beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth. He was very sharp spiritually when the devil came to bring the attacks, quoted exactly the verses of Scripture that needed to be quoted in order to fend off the temptations of the devil. And notice in verse 12, when Jesus had heard that John... verse 11, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. He survived that attack by the devil, and then he goes out and begins his ministry, and he is filled with the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of God incarnate, and he has a great and powerful ministry. But he fasted. He fasted at the beginning of that. You know, God recognizes that with you and with me, we are troubled by our appetites. And it can be an appetite for a number of things. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, marital relations are even abstained for a period of time when there's a fast. Just to, you know, not so much that the couple is tempted for their incontinency, but they devote themselves to prayer. And so they've even abstained from those pleasures as well as from food in order to get with God. You know, what did the Lord say in Proverbs chapter 23, if you're a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat? Yeah. Yeah, so he recognizes how strong the appetites of the flesh are. And at times, in this case, here's a man invited to a banquet that a king has set, and he says, you better put a knife to your throat if you're a man that's given to appetite, because you may be persuaded by all that good food into something that you don't know to be involved in. And so he knows how tough our appetite can be. Notice, turn to Psalm 106. In Psalm 106, here's the problem. The Jews were out there in the wilderness. They didn't like the manna. They didn't like the wilderness. And so they started complaining. They even notice in verse 13 of Psalm 106, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. You ever been there? Where you get to a place where you just kind of forget about how good God has been to you in the past, and you're in a hurry to do something, you don't wait for God's counsel before you do it. Well, that's where the Jews were. In verse 14, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request. But when he did, look what else happened to them. He sent leanness into their soul. That's what happens to us in time. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love is the song, is the hymn that we sing. And what will happen is our appetites will just get the best of us. And when they do, you will find leanness in your soul. You'll find oftentimes that your appetite for Bible reading will wane, or you'll be reading the Bible, but nothing's going in. You've done it, but you didn't get anything out of it. You'll find that your hunger and thirst for righteousness wane. You'll find that you know that the Spirit of God is with you, but you don't sense being filled like you were at some other time, and you find that your prayer life is dull. Well, when those things happen, oftentimes what's happened is that you have satisfied the lusts of the flesh, and that's not necessarily sin. You know, you get hungry, you eat, and it's a good thing you get hungry. When people get older and they don't get hungry, they don't eat, and their bodies get weak. That's a good thing, see? But it doesn't, just because you lust after something doesn't mean it's a bad thing at all. But what happens, even though you're not sinning, sometimes you're just satisfying all those physical things and you're not satisfying the spiritual things, and you grow weaker spiritually. And so, turn to Psalm 107. When you decide to abstain from fleshly desires for a period of time, God does something. Psalm 107, verse 9, He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's what God does. When you fast, He just comes in there and says, you know, you want more of me, or a sense that you've got more of me and less of the appetites of your flesh, and God's there to fill the longing, satisfy the longing soul. In Matthew chapter 5, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I realize that has a doctrinal application to Israel, but we can sure make a spiritual application and say, God, I want to be filled. I want to be filled because I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. I know I'm going through this quickly, but it's important for us to consider an opportunity that we have, particularly in advance of this Bible conference where some men are going to come and preach. You've been praying that they will be filled with the Spirit of God, speak what God wants them to speak to us, and that we will have the ears to hear, and our people will be here to hear these things. Man, wouldn't it be good if God just said, I got this for you. I got this for you. I heard you, and there, boom, right there. There you go. And do something for our church. That's a tremendous thing. Well, look at Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah chapter 58, he's talking about fasting. Look at verse 3. They're asking the question, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, the Lord answers, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. In other words, you're not held off of your peanut butter and jelly sandwich for one meal, but you're doing everything else just like you always have. You're finding pleasure and you're carrying on, exacting all your labors. He says in verse 4, you fast for strife and debate, smite with the fist of wickedness. So it was just it became a religious ritual to them. And then nothing changed. He says in verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Then he says in verse 6, here's how you do it. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? That's what they did. That's what they did in Nineveh. They let go some of that bad stuff they were doing. To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that they break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him. See how they become so much more aware of the needs of others instead of their own needs when they lay off the food and wreck. Oh man, you got a need. Oh man, there's a problem here. I'm not going to eat this, so I can give you something to eat. But now watch what the benefits are. You see the context. Here's where we want to go. Look at verse 8. You do that. You fast like that, he said. And what will happen? Number one, he said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Then shall thy light break forth as morning. When you fast, one of the first things you're going to notice is you're going to get clearer direction from God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That'll sharpen up it just makes the light of the word of God brilliant and bright. It's already light. But he says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding the simple. Doesn't do any good sitting on the page. It has to get into you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So when you're reading and the Holy Spirit is giving it to you by inspiration where you understand it, it becomes profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction and righteousness, reproof. And it equips you so you get light. It really brightens up the Word of God. I can honestly say, I'm sure this is true of every person in here, there are times when you've read that Bible and it was just something you did because you knew that was what you're supposed to do that day. And you went away and said, well, at least, thank God, I'm a little cleaner than I was. And you don't even know if that's so. It's just that's what you believe. And then there are other days you open it up and it's just like God and you were having a conversation. Well, when it gets a little bit like a ritual, that's a good time to fast because that thing will open up and you'll begin to see bright, bright words of God again and get direction from them. The second thing he said in verse 8 is this, thine health shall spring forth speedily. There is a medically proven benefit to fasting. And he says so. So it's good for you, Mikey. Life cereal. Verse 8 also, notice this, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. You know what it'll do? You fast and it'll clean up some of the areas of sin in your life. Now, sin just has a way with us. Without going into a lot of detail, you know, sometimes we just recognize, well, until I have a glorified body, I'm not going to have much power over this. And so we just allow some things to slide in our lives. Generally speaking, thought life. It's generally not the things that you're doing. It's the things you're thinking about. It's the things that you're loving. It's the things that are on inside. And these start to kind of kick into your relationship with the Lord. You start fasting and you become more aware of those kinds of sins of the heart and sins of the thought life, and you also have a greater desire to address them and deal with them and clean them up because you recognize they have an effect on your relationship with the Lord. So it's good for righteousness. It's good for light. It's good for health. It's good for righteousness. Fasting is also good for glory. Look at verse 8 again. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward, like in the army, you know, you got the rear guard or the rearward. So the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. That's a life more glorifying to God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, can you help me finish it? Do all to the glory of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And fasting helps that. You know, you go back there and read in the Kings, sometimes a king like Hezekiah or Josiah comes up. What, you know what's one of the first things they do whenever they come to the throne? They go down to the temple and clean out all the trash. They drag it all out to the brook Kidron, and they burn it with fire. It's amazing how suddenly after those guys have reigned, the next guy comes in, drags it all back in again. But anyway, they drag it out of there. They clean the temple. And you know, when the temple was built, or in Moses' case, when the tabernacle was finished and everything was set up just the way God commanded, the glory of the Lord shone inside of there. And a cloud filled the place and the priest couldn't even minister by reason of the glory. Wouldn't it be something to be so filled with the Spirit of God in your life that the glory of God's presence was evident in your life? You know, I'm not trying to get ooey-ooey. It's just that God, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost right here. And we are the temple of God. And the Lord wants that preeminence. And a lot of times what you have to do is you just got to push away from those pleasures, push away from the table, so God can use the vessel more for His desires than you using it for your desires. And that's where His glory is. And then look at verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. I don't know about you, but prayer is a very, very valuable thing. It's even better to pray and get some answers, right? That's a tremendous thing. So he said, then shalt thou call and the Lord shall answer. If you find that your prayer life has gotten dull, it's a drag, you're just reading it off the list and there's not much happening, maybe that's a good time to fast and say, Lord, we really have to get something here. Now, I've said it before, if it was one of our children and it was an emergency and it was critical, you wouldn't even think about food. Wouldn't even come to your mind. Somebody have to tell you, you know what, you need to take a break. You're going to have to drink some water. You're going to have a little food here. We understand in urgent situations like that. What we don't understand, just being who we are as human beings, we don't understand when it's urgent to God. I mean, aren't we His children? Yeah, so sometimes these things are urgent to God. And praying gets us, it just does. It just sharpens up your prayer until you sense the urgency that God senses in that. Now, many of you have fasted and prayed, and you have a testimony. I could say, anybody got a testimony? You could stand up or you could come up here and you could say, you know what? There was a time when I was praying about a certain situation and it just didn't seem like God was answering. I began to fast and pray, and this is how God answered. And when He did, it was evident that God was the one that did that. I just want to ask you, not for the testimony, probably should have a testimony meeting like this on a prayer meeting night. But how many of you can say, I remember a time when God impressed upon me that I needed to fast and pray, and God answered that prayer in a very evident way that it was God that did it? It's all around the building. It's all around the building. That in itself is a testimony. If you are preparing yourself for something going on in your life or for this meeting, and you really want to hear from God, you want somebody who's preaching to say something, to answer a concern in your heart or to deal with a matter in your life, or you just really want to be on track with God, or you're looking for His will in your life or something like that, take a little time to push away from the table, from the pleasures, and ask God to speak to you. And I believe there's a good likelihood from what you're seeing here that the Lord will answer that prayer. He'll talk to you. All right, and then notice verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be, watch it, like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. What does that remind you of? The Spirit of God? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, that thing has to do, that has to do with filling, I mean, if you want to make the spiritual application, being filled with the Spirit of God. And you know, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, that's one of the reasons that he can fill you is that you are emptied of other things. And so the Spirit of God can fill you. And it, your life and my life are so much better when the Spirit of God has, it does not have to challenge us for control of the vessel. Have you ever challenged, have you ever, I have, I've put up a fight with the Lord too many times. The Spirit of God doesn't want resistance, does he? He doesn't want resistance. He wants the ease of being able to lead you in the direction that he goes. And it's like that. Not only that, but when you're well watered, it's like a spring of water whose waters fail not, you're gonna be a lot more beneficial to the people to whom you minister. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you pray for a co-worker, a family member, a neighbor, somebody you're witnessing to that you're concerned about, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, that witness is just more evident, and you're more sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit of God in your life to say what he wants you to say, not just what comes to mind, what he wants you to say. And you have the confidence that you can leave it with that because the Lord is the one who's actually using you as simply the vessel, the mouthpiece, to make that known. And that's because that there's less resistance and more filling of the Spirit of God. So fasting, as you can see, we just look at a few cases, it's essential to your spiritual relationship with the Lord. In urgent situations like Christ in the wilderness and like Jonah, you know, with the people in Nineveh or with Esther. But not only in crisis situations, in times when you've got a need you want met by the Lord. So when you find, if you find right now, as we get ready for this meeting, if you find that you sense you're in a weakened condition, either because of temptation or because of involvement in so many things going on in your life, and this might be a good time to fast and pray to strengthen yourself spiritually for the preaching of the Word of God you'll be hearing this weekend. Amen. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to be able to look in the words of God and get some instruction. We pray that you will help us, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.